Need to unmute Barry.
Hey, thank you. Sorry, one more person's just arrived, so we'll just give her a second to join us and then we'll get going. Lovely. Okay, well, shalom, everyone. Nice to see you all again. It's Bank Holiday Monday. Thanks for being here. Numbers are probably slightly lower than normal, and that's probably understandable. But we'll press on. So tonight, again, we're continuing on with our theme, which we've been doing now since the beginning of the year, which is all about being equipped for battle, learning the art of warfare. And tonight we're looking at how to overcome the enemy through Thanksgiving. So I think most of you were here last week where we looked at praise, and it's obviously a very similar theme, but perhaps we can tease out tonight some of the differences between praise and thanksgiving. But what's what we're looking at tonight? So how to overcome the enemy. And just a reminder that, as we say most weeks, spiritual warfare is not for the weird and the wacky. Spiritual warfare is something that we're born into when we're born into the kingdom. So therefore, what we're trying to do with these sessions is learning how to put into practice day by day different things that will help us to overcome the battles that we face, overcome the enemy. So tonight, that's just a reminder for those who've just joined, we're looking at how to overcome the enemy through thanksgiving and thankfulness. Okay, so let's just start this evening with a time of prayer, and then we'll get into this topic. Father, you are the Ancient of Days. Father, you are the Holy One. And Father, we come before you this evening. Father, we have joined together, my brothers and sisters here. We've joined together, Lord, to learn more of you. And tonight, Father, we want to learn in particular about Thanksgiving. Lord, so often through, particularly with the Israelites, Lord, as they were walking and wandering through the wilderness, Lord, how often they grumbled. And Father, you were displeased with all their grumbling. So teach us tonight, Lord, how to be thankful and also the importance of being thankful, lest we give the enemy a foothold. So could we commit this time to you, Father? We trust you to speak to us. We trust you to reveal your truth through your word. Lord, inspire us this evening by your spirit. Lord, that we may get, again, a revelation, a divine revelation of the truth of this topic. Lord, because it's for your glory, your honor, and your name, Lord, that we want to overcome. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, lovely. I see just a couple more have joined since we started praying. So a reminder for those that we are doing tonight, the topic which is overcoming the enemy through thankfulness or thanksgiving. Okay, so how are we going to start this evening? I think it would be appropriate to start with some thankfulness. So, what should we do? Would anybody like to read a portion of maybe a psalm of thanksgiving to get us started? Anyone inspired with a particular psalm that they...
We will enter your gates
with thing with thanksgiving in our hearts,
Amen.
And enter your courts with praise.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. Thank you.
Psalm 136.
Yes, go ahead, Elizabeth.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. Etc. And anyway, and the last verse is, give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever.
Amen. Amen. Lovely. Well, thank you for that. Okay. Would anybody like to begin this evening with a few comments on what it means, or what Thanksgiving is and what it means and how important it is? Is it important? Linda, thank you, Linda. Go ahead.
Well, I just thought that you did it when you prayed, because for me, the thing that terrifies me is the children in the wilderness who were complaining all the time, and they didn't get into the promised land because of that. So I'm quite sort of, what's the word? Trying very hard all the time not to complain, and very hard to be thankful if that's the opposite of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to get there. So that's really my comment. And every time things go wrong, you still can thank God for what didn't go wrong.
Mm.
If you see what I mean.
Yes.
I've just been on a week's holiday, which is the first time in about, I don't know, probably 7 years, something like that. And the place where we went, we weren't given information about it at all. And it turned out that there was no phone signal at all in the whole village, and therefore we couldn't call a taxi or anything. But the Thanksgiving is that nobody had an accident, because we were both disabled. I was using a wheelchair, which I'd not used before, and going down roads that I'd never seen before and things like that, and, you know, on buses, which isn't new. And my friend had a mobility device, and we didn't have a single accident, and we had good weather, you know. So I was like trying to give thanks for the things that were good. And also the rest from technology was quite good, but very unexpected. So that's the kind of, I think it's important, this don't complain about things.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you. Any other comments? Chris, are you? I think Chris is maybe speaking. Are you? You're on mute.
How's that? Is that okay?
That's better. Yeah, thank you.
For me, one of the important things about Thanksgiving is that it puts me under rather than over. In other words, I'm expressing gratitude to someone for something they have done for me, which is to me a supremely important thing. So then I can give thanks because I'm conscious that I owe them something. And I suppose that for me, the highest expression of thanksgiving is thanking our Savior for being our Savior. And it's to me significant that in so many churches around the land and opportunities to have Holy Communion, it's often referred to as Eucharist. And the word Eucharistia, as I'm sure you know, means thanksgiving. So thanksgiving takes me right to the heart of my faith, right to the heart of my relationship with Jesus. And I think that that is so vitally important in these days when there is such fear stalking Christians as well as non-Christians. We have to rise above our fear and focusing on the centrality of our precious Lord is surely the way we deal with that. Because on the cross, for which we are so thankful, he expressed his perfect love. And we're told in scripture that perfect love casts out fear. I'm sure most of you are aware of the fact that news is coming out from Russia of terrible threats to our beloved country, threats to overwhelm us with water, of all things. Although the Lord in his word promises faithfully that the world will never be inundated with water again. But of course, the Russians are not remotely interested in what God says in his word. But it just does increase the fear level in our people, not least in our children. And the antidote to all of it is the cross of Christ, the glorious redemption which is ours in Jesus, which should fill us with thankfulness all the time. And I'm sure we would all say it does fill us with thankfulness. We are profoundly thankful. We live our lives to express that gratitude. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Praise the Lord. Okay, John, Jan, over to you.
I was remembering of times we've been diverted on the road. And sort of, where are we going now? Why? Don't know. Thank you, Lord, for whatever we're missing.
Amen. Thanks, Jan. Fiona.
Right at the beginning, I had a very old chorus. And it goes, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. All his people, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us praise, let us thank, let us celebrate and dance. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And something the Lord's been teaching me over a number of years now about how to give thanks. And it's not looking at, as Chris has said about fear, I'm going to miss the bus. It's about resting in the Lord and realizing that he is actually Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And he provides all things to us. So by pressing the button to cross the road, and it changes suddenly and the bus is at the bus stop, that's something to give thanks for. It's something to thank him. Every day we thank him for the health we have, the strength we have, the utilities we have, the money to purchase things, the beauty of his creation, that he is the creator, lots of different attributes of who God is. And it's just how marvelous he is, because he does provide in every way. And the trap I can fall into is that we can think he's either not involved or he's not doing things as we want them to be done. Thank you very much. And so subsequently, it's looking at the small things. Scripture says not to despise the small things, but it's in realizing that, yes, as Chris so rightly says, you know, Jesus died for us and we can give thanks and praise for that. But it's also recognizing his hand in everything that we do. Whether it's, I can't do things in my own strength, and I realize I'm thanking the Lord because he's helping me with it and he's enabling me. And even today, I was doing some gardening and thinking, well, where do I start? What do I do? I don't know where I need to go with this. Where do I plant this? What do I do with that? And then one little thought came into my mind and I thought, that's wonderful. Yes, thank you, Lord. That's the way forward. And it unraveled everything. And I then was able to proceed. And it's what is our focus? Who is our focus? And it's just thanking him in all things. Mm-hmm. And as Paul says, I've learned to be content And being content is thankful with what we have, not what we desire to have or are striving after or whatever, because the Lord does supply our needs. It's just that we don't always see it. And it's always a good thing to give him thanks.
Amen.
So it's just a thought.
Thank you, Philip. Lovely. Thank you very much. Yes, praise the Lord.
I could just come in on that for a moment, Barry.
Yes.
The reason I concentrated on Eucharistia, thanksgiving supremely for the sacrifice of the cross, is because you couch the question, how does this fit into spiritual warfare? And I think, therefore, that this is a particular kind of thanksgiving, not a general kind of thanksgiving. We're thanking the Lord for being who he is and for doing what he's done, because in thanking him and remembering him, there is tremendous power to overcome the enemy. And I think that is a critical factor in this particular subject.
I think you're right, Chris, but I also think that as where are our eyes focused, and as we remember, because I'm thanking the Lord for, you know, his spirit inside me and his guiding and his leading, and the fact that Jesus died, and that's the greatest gift we could ever have, but it's also about daily realizing that he's there, and in everything he helps us to overcome whatever situation we're in. And as we thank him, as we see things unraveling, as we realize that he is there with us, we can thank him that he will undertake for us, and we can overcome anything that the devil seeks to throw at us in that sense, because we know in whom we believe. Does that make sense? So it's what you're saying. That is a wonderful weapon, but it's also a continuation of that, that he's in the forefront of our minds all the time in everything that we're doing, because he has the victory, he has overcome, he is the conqueror, and he leads us in triumphal procession. And yes, that's in the heavenlies, and we're seated with him already in that regard. And I'm not trying to be too heavenly minded and no earthly good. It's just that because I have sort of a lot of issues with my health, because I have a real problem with my sight, I have to rely on him. And it's knowing how great and how good he is and how much he loves me and cares for me. There is a great security in that. And knowing that if Satan is coming at me, with certain thoughts and things, it's a case of, well, the battle is the Lord's. Yes, I need to do what he's calling me to do, but I can thank him that I am in him and that I'm not on my own, and that he is the one who will bring me through in whatever circumstance. And I am, when I get in a situation where I feel very stressed, I remember I don't need to do that. I need to rest in the Lord, because I know that Derek Prince once said that stress is a demon. And there are lots of things that we don't realize and how Satan gets into our thoughts. And as we think on the good and the lovely and the fact of who God is and what he's done and how he does things, we're concentrating a lot on the good and the lovely, and we're then able to be in a better position to resist the devil and for him to flee. So, but it's all in the finished work of Christ. So I don't know if what I'm saying is too controversial or whether it's a load of rubbish, but I just know that the Lord provides for me in so many ways. And I can't be without him. There's nothing I can do. And I need to rest in that and know that he is good and he will, even if, and I have a fear about losing my life to particularly Islam, and persecution. But every day I think I must leave that with the Lord, because he is dealing with me today. And he has control over my life today. And as I am in surrender and submission to him, then other things will fall into place. And it's keeping my eyes on him and that he is good. And I can thank him in whatever circumstance I'm in, even though sometimes that might be hard. Does that make any sense?
Yes, and it does to me. Yeah. Thank you, Fiona. Thank you. John and John, did you want to make another comment or is your hand still up from before?
No comment. Me this time. I think what Fiona was just saying also sort of fits very well with what I was thinking of. So it's maybe right. I'm going back more years than I care to remember. And I was in quite a dark, nasty place. You know, felt I was at the bottom of a pit. And God wasn't really very much in the pit there. Every time I did try to reach out and I said, well, what should I do? The only answer I got was, praise me. Well, that wasn't quite what was in my mind at the time. My response, if any, was likely to be, can't you think of anything better than that, God? But no, whether it was someone who spoke to me, scripture that I read, a sermon I heard, whatever, wherever, the only reply I got was, praise me. And eventually I stopped saying humph and started with, well, thank you, God, it's not raining today. And that was pretty much where I began. And day by day, I managed to think of something different to say thank you for. And one or two weeks went by and I was feeling a bit better and more able to praise God. And a month went by and praising God was becoming fairly easy. And I was not running out of things to think of. In fact, I could think of more and more things. By the time 6 weeks or so had gone by, I suddenly realized I'm not in my pit anymore. It sort of got filled in and I'm stood on top of it. So like 2 months down the line, I was dancing on top of the hole that I'd been in and praising the Lord. But it came very gradually. And the praise, the thanksgiving, the turning my orientation mentally onto the Lord was what lifted me out of that pit. And yes, defeated a satanic attack, but I didn't see it as such in those days.
Great testimony. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Praise the Lord. Any other comments? I'm just looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And towards the end of that chapter, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. And it goes on to talk about not despising prophetic utterances, etc. But I've always wondered if that quenching of the Spirit is related to potentially the preceding three verses, which talk about rejoicing always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, because it's quite a It's quite comprehensive, that, isn't it? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks. And I suppose it sort of chimes with my experience in the days that I'm rejoicing and thanking the Lord, even for small things and praying. You know, as I just go about my daily business, you just sense that real deep presence of the Lord with you. And often it's the complaining and the focus on yourself and your own circumstances and how things may not be as good as you would like it, that seems to just quench the spirit. And it is my experience, so I don't know if any of you have the same experience. So for me, you know, this is absolutely essential that we do give thanks in everything, in order that we do not quench the spirit.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I've never seen it that way before, because most people connect quenching the spirit with the following verses, despising not prophecies and so on. Mm. But, if you go to Ephesians 5, the famous verse about be filled with the spirit is followed by speaking to yourselves in psalms and spirits, singing and making melody, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father. So being filled with the Spirit, one of the consequences of it would be giving thanks. So what you're saying makes absolute sense. If you're not giving thanks, it's going to quench the Spirit. That's a very good point.
So the other reference was Ephesians 5, was it?
Ephesians 5, 18, 19 and 20. It's actually verse 20, giving thanks, but one of the consequences, being filled with the Spirit, and it has several consequences: speaking to yourselves, singing, making melody, giving thanks, and goes on to talk about submitting as well, which is another aspect of being filled with the Spirit, but that's not the topic for tonight. But yeah, thanksgiving is definitely a consequence of being filled with the Spirit, and to not give thanks would grieve the Spirit. That's very good point. I was thinking about Psalm 23, where the psalmist is giving thanks. He doesn't actually use the word thanks, but the Lord is my shepherd and so on. You get to, is it verse 4, you prepare a table before me, something to give thanks for, in the presence of my enemies, which is something we probably wouldn't want to give thanks for. We listened to Louis Giglio fairly recently on don't give the enemy a seat at your table. And, you know, the Lord's prepared a table for us, and it is in the presence of our enemies. So David's almost giving thanks for the enemies, because the table there, what the Lord has prepared for us, is a testimony to others, so we can give thanks for it, the others who are enemies. But it's a very interesting point: don't give these enemies a seat at your table, because what he says is very, very true. The devil will draw up a seat to your table, and he'll start saying to you, asking, you know, how are you getting on? And, how's your wife? And you might say, I know. He said, you're doing very well. And gradually, you know, the devil just gnaws away, eats away at the things that we have got to be thankful for, and sows unthankfulness, ingratitude, discontentment in our hearts. And that was a very powerful, powerful lesson to me, because it is this question of gratitude. Thanksgiving is basically gratitude expressed. It's good to have an attitude of gratitude, but if you don't actually express it, if you don't say it out loud, you're not actually giving thanks, are you? And we've already mentioned the other side of that coin, of course, is ingratitude, which leads to grumbling. You start complaining about things, and yeah, God was displeased. They didn't not get into the promised land because they grumbled. Didn't get into the promised land because they rejected what God said. Go into the land at Kadesh Barnea, but they died in the wilderness, didn't they? 1 Corinthians 10 makes that clear. Their bodies perished in the wilderness, and ingratitude and grumbling and murmuring is displeasing to the Lord. So yeah, giving thanks, don't quench the spirit. Also, gratitude expressed leads to contentment. And discontentment, of course, is the other side of that coin, isn't it? Paul says, I've learned, Philippians 4, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's Philippians 4:11. But then in 1 Timothy 6:6, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So this is all aspects of gratitude, which brings contentment, which is being pleasing to God. If I can quote another controversial person, John Piper, God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. But there is a scriptural verse for that, Thanksgiving, 2 Corinthians 4:15. Our thanksgiving brings glory to God. So if we are satisfied in God and we're giving thanks to God, that brings God glory. And those around us see it, and it's a testimony to them. So, and all of that flows from the Holy Spirit who's within us, which is something else to be thankful for.
Amen. Thank you, David. Would you be able to put some of those references in the chat, David, if you could, that'd be really helpful.
If you could just thank keep you. An eye on the other aspects.
Sure. Elizabeth.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a testimony. I've been up in the Peak District since Friday. Just got back today. But when I arrived, it was just glorious weather. And I was in a room with, there were six females in my room. And so I went out before breakfast and found this just amazing space in front of this field with sheep and lambs running around. And so it was very easy for me just to start singing and praising. And the birds were singing along with me. I mean, the chorus was just incredible. And then the next day I went out again. And then this morning I went out, and because I'd done a 12-mile walk yesterday and I was feeling really tired. And it was sort of, when I got out this morning, the sheep looked tired and they were still asleep and lying on the field. And I felt like them, that they were like me. But I just thought, no, I just want to keep praising. And so I started singing, and then I read out the whole of Romans 8 out loud. And I just felt just to push through, and the birds were singing as I was reading out these verses. It was just fantastic. Mm. I just want to share that anyway.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any other comments? Welcome.
I give thanks every time I think about it. On Easter Sunday, when I was going up to bed, the controller for my central heating is just at the bottom of the stairs. And I always have a look at it, as I go up to bed. And it said on Sunday evening, Easter Sunday evening, 23 degrees. And I thought, oh, that's funny. And I went up to bed. The next morning, the house was very warm, shall we say. And by Monday evening, the temperature in the house was up to 29 degrees. And, this is totally wrong. And I mithered when I went to bed for about 2 hours, should I go downstairs and outside, I should say, to turn off the gas, because obviously the gas was going all the time. And I couldn't call anybody for help, because it was bank holiday. And on the, I went at 2 o'clock in the morning in my shorts outside the front door to turn off the gas. And that was 2 o'clock Tuesday morning. And the guy came and he found that what the problem was, a valve on the water circulation for the central heating was not closing. And of course, that meant the pump was still going, which meant that the boiler was still going, which is why it got so hot. And he ordered a part and came Friday mid-morning with the part and fitted it. And so I was without central heating as such from 2 o'clock Tuesday morning until about 11 o'clock Friday morning. But what I give praise for is that way back in 1995, I bought solar heating and it kept me going with hot water. So, and I've also got air conditioning in the house, in the lounge, in this study here, and in our bedroom. And that, when I bought that back in, be about the same time as I bought the solar heating, I made sure that I had an inverter instead of a compressor outside, which meant it can pump heat both ways, from inside out and from outside in. So I had warmth and I had hot water, although I've got no gas. So I'll just praise the Lord for that.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Margot. Praise the Lord. Any other comments? Fiona?
The psalm that was read initially about enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I think there's something spiritually significant in that, that thanksgiving leads to praise, or the way to praise, and praise into the courts of the Lord, and the fact that then you can come into a place of worship and of real intimacy with the Lord. I think there's some spiritual premise there, and that's something I've tended to try and apply in my life. So and there is always something to be thankful for that you can actually see, that you can actually hear. You can actually, I can't smell. And I lost my sense of smell some years ago now. But I can remember some of the scents of things and know that they were beautiful. And there's lots of things you can be thankful for. Mm-hmm. That you can use your hands, that you can actually walk, that you can actually sit or do something or read or whatever. You know, in the job that I was in, I worked with blind and partially sighted people, and mainly people in their old age, losing most of their sight or all of it. And subsequently, one of the hardest things was for them not to be able to read anymore. And we take a lot for granted, an awful lot for granted. It's only when things go wrong a lot of the time that we realise what we've lost. And that can be sometimes be too late. It's thanking God for relationships. It's there are times where I've not had very charitable thoughts towards my husband. He ought to be doing this or that or something else. And then a little thought comes into my mind and it's a case of, well, yes, Father, that is true. You know, people aren't all bad. The fact that a particular thing is irritating you at the moment, you can give thanks for all the good things that are in people. It's very fundamental. It's very simple in many ways, with giving thanks. That there's always something you can give thanks for, which can then lead you to praise of God. I'm just so thankful that I have a husband. And, things haven't always been easy, but I am just so thankful that I have Steve, and that he is a Christian and that he loves the Lord and he's very much a teacher and very committed to reading the Bible and things. And there are times I can ask him about things, and there are sometimes he'll say, I don't know. Other times he will give me a clear answer. And there's just so much you can be thankful for. You know, even someone bringing you a cup of tea, or, you know, you can take it for granted that every morning your cup of tea is there. But it's not, you know, it's the fact that the Lord has given love to that person to make you that cup of tea and to know that's what you need and to help meet your need. So that's my two pennyworth again.
That, I think, is the key aspect of spiritual warfare. We're considering it because often the thoughts that come into your mind are not from a father, they're from the enemy. And the enemy, who is, of course, the father of lies. And what is the antidote to lies but truth? So as we declare the truth in thanking God for the things we can give thanks to God, we are silencing the enemy's voice in our minds. That's a very key part of spiritual warfare, because if the devil's got a foothold in your mind, you're already on the losing side, aren't you? You've already lost the battle. So to actually, when those negative thoughts come, to contradict them with truth, and we're talking about thanksgiving in this particular case, is a powerful weapon to use against the enemy.
Amen.
And I think too that we often get caught up in pity, self-pity, and what about me? And there's an element of pride in it all, that I need to be first, or I need to have precedence, or whatever. And subsequently, it touches something in us, like saying about, I'm not going to give any specifics, but sometimes my husband does something and I think, you know, because that's put me out and I wanted to do something this way or that way or whatever, or he's taking a long time to do something, which, and I'm hanging about doing nothing and I'm thinking, what a waste of time, or whatever. But then I think, no, my mind changes as a thought comes into my mind, and I'm sure it's the Lord putting those thoughts into my mind all the time and showing that it's not always about me and what I want and how I want to do things, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes there are things to do with needs, and you need to say, because we're all fallible and we all miss things. But there are other times where I think we need to look at ourselves and see, why am I responding in this way? Because that can be a way of the Lord disciplining us too. And by giving thanks, it shows that we can thank him for things that he's done in our lives. I thank him that I have changed so much in the 40 years I've been a Christian. You know, and I believe it's for the better. And I am so thankful to him because he's been the one to change me. And even in the terrible times I had last year with work, the Lord did something very special then, and I thank him for that. It wasn't pleasant going through it, but I can look back, and even in the circumstances, I was able to give thanks to a degree, but I can look back and I can see something has been taken away from me which wasn't reflecting the Lord. And he's given me something in its place, which is far more precious. And I just thank him for that.
Amen.
It takes us back to where Chris started us off earlier on, that thanksgiving, we're acknowledging our dependence on Father. So when we turn in thanksgiving, we're putting ourselves in right relationship with Father, and of course in personal relationships as well. It's much better if I thank Nancy for bringing me a cup of tea than rather just sit there and drink it, isn't it? And your relationships are developed as you give thanks, and but it's the relationship to the Lord, recognizing that he is the source. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, and we can use those truths to defeat the father of lies. and thanksgiving is a way of expressing our dependence on the Lord and recognizing it, and it brings us into right relationship with our Father.
I am very thankful my daughter just brought me a cup of tea. Praise the Lord. Well, as you're speaking there, Fiona and David, my mind's just gone to the very well-known verse in Romans 12:2 about not being conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't know if maybe it's just me. If I spend a lot of time in the company of people who complain a lot, I find myself joining in. And I think we need to train ourselves, because as we've all said, there's always something to be thankful for, but how often do we turn our minds to that and we just join in with others and complain? And I think for me, it's part of this renewing of your mind, renewing your mind to focus on the positive rather than the negative, which is what the world typically does. I've worked in quite a few offices in my time, and for those of you who've worked in offices and probably other places as well, there seems to be an awful lot of complaining. That seems to be the kind of main conversation. It's complaint about the boss, complaint about something at work or something outside of work. It's very, very easy to join in. But I think we need to conform. We need to not conform ourselves to the world. We need to renew our minds to be thinking about the positives that we can be thankful for. And if there's no other positives you can think of, then always we can turn to what Chris has said, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how can we not give thanks when we ponder, when we meditate on what Jesus has done? But sometimes I think it takes a renewal of the mind to start to focus on being positive rather than just conforming to the rest of the world. John and Jan.
Yeah, don't you find when you're in a negative office space or situation where people are being negative and you try to put a positive on or say, well, maybe this was happening, but they weren't. The way you're looking at it is different to what was actually happening. Mm-hmm. Don't you just get slammed down for that, trying to put a positive on it?
Mm-hmm. Usually.
You can do, yeah. You can do.
Most times, I find. Oh, the joy of not being in office.
Thank you, Jan. Fiona.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mute.
There are always two sides to something. I think when we're being negative, we tend to focus on one side only. And something that John was saying earlier about him being in a pit, I think giving thanks isn't dependent upon how we feel. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that. I do. And it's almost like John said earlier, you know, I don't want to give thanks. Can't you think of something else other than praising to get me out of this pit? And I think we want an easy way, we want a snap of God's fingers and something's put right without us making any effort. But I do think sometimes we get caught up in feelings, and we have to sometimes take those to one side and capture them and praise God or thank God anyway. Does that make sense?
Any other comments? Thank you, Fiona. That was very helpful. Elizabeth.
I was just aware, as when I was reading out this Romans 8 this morning out loud. There was something about, I know we know this, but there was something about speaking it out with purpose when I felt was there was a power in it, you know. There was something in it that was doing something in the heavenlies by speaking it out, not just thinking about it, but actually the words were going out. And it made me, because I don't always speak it out, often I'll just read it, but it made me think, yeah, I need to speak scripture out more. There's more power there. So that's all.
Thank you. John and Jan again.
Fully agree. If I'm feeling down and I'm thinking good thoughts, it doesn't get anywhere. But if I speak it out, that seems to break something. It's much easier. And of course, I can't think of an example. But just sort of, well, for example, I'm lying in bed thinking and praising and thanking God and praying through various things and keeping quiet and trying to keep still so I don't wake John up because he needs his sleep as much as I do, but God's woken me up to deal with something or other. And when I get up and get in the woods walking up Ollie about 7 o'clock, then I can release it and speak it out, and it's much more freeing.
That reminds me of two friends from a youth group. Yeah, I think Jan remembers this one years
you
ago.
You telling me, yes. I was on the scene then.
No, you weren't there. They'd both gone to a conference from the same youth group, so they knew each other. But they travelled independently. I think maybe they were even both at college somewhere, separate colleges. Anyway, Ken's car broke down. And so I think it was Sue offered to give him a lift back. He'd have to sort his car out later. On the way back, her car broke down. And so they're sitting there waiting for the AA. And to pass the time, instead of playing I Spy, they decided to take it in turn to give thanks for something. And to start with, that wasn't too difficult. But then, of course, they began to run out of things that they hadn't used before. Eventually, one of them says, well, I give thanks for you. Me? I give thanks for you. And as they began to realise actually how much they did appreciate each other, about 9 months later, they got married.
Thanks, John. So
giving thanks can be dangerous.
A life sentence.
Wonderful.
Any other comments? Well, we've talked a lot about Romans tonight. Romans 8, that great verse in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. And I think even with that thought in my mind, you know, even if something bad is happening, you know, there's various ways you can give thanks. You can give thanks for other things like who Jesus is and all the rest. But I'm trying to train myself to give thanks for these circumstances too, because I believe therefore they've come with a purpose. And so that's what I also try to do is thank you, Lord, for this, even though I can't. Or perhaps I don't understand yet the purpose, but I know it's come from you, and I know it's for my good. And so we can genuinely thank God for the circumstances that we are in. It's just another thought on that. Any other comments, questions?
I'm not so sure that all the things that we endure or experience come from God necessarily, but he permits it, he allows it, but some things are clearly out of his way. It's contrary to his way, but sometimes he permits it. But I would say it's not from God as such.
Sure, sure. Sorry, but perhaps I've been a bit lazy with my language.
Sorry, Barry, I didn't mean to, you know. I didn't.
No. I probably was. Apologies, Rosalind. I didn't mean that. That wasn't what I was intending.
Wasn't it Job that said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. I think in everything we can give thanks.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm thankful for you guys, and I have to go now, I'm afraid, but the Lord bless you and thank you for all you've shared.
Thank you, Chris.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Yes. Yeah, Chris. Yeah, I was about to say, Barry, we often quote that the Thessalonian verse, in everything give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
But the verse I quoted from Ephesians 5 says, giving thanks always for all things. So, yes, even circumstances that are from the enemy, not just giving thanks in them, but giving thanks for them. I think that takes it to a deeper level. But what I was really struck by, doing some research on the question of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving triggers the worship of heaven. In Revelation 4, when the living creatures give thanks to God, the 24 elders cast their crowns down and worship God as a consequence. And when you get to the end of the chapter 19, the four hallelujahs, they're giving thanks to God. And what are they giving thanks for? For the destruction of Babylon. You know, giving thanks to God for all things takes it, I think, to a new level and maybe a discipline that we'll need to put ourselves under as times get harder. Not to look on the negative side. It is all part of renewing our minds, of course. You mentioned from Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 10, taking every thought captive to bring it into obedience to Christ. This is all about retraining our minds, which is where the battle starts. If you haven't won the battle of the mind, you're not going to win the battle against the enemy.
Amen. Thank you, David. Wonderful.
What comes to mind in that verse? I don't know what the original translation would be, but could it be give thanks despite all things? Because God allows the things to happen to us because we're his kids, but he's still in control.
Well, that's the reason we can give thanks, because he is in control, however bad it may look on the outside. It's renewing our mind. For the sake of, the word translated for means over, beyond, on behalf of, or for the sake of.
I think it comes down to whether we believe that that what happens to us, that God permits, okay, which is there's some good things and obviously some very bad things at times. But do we trust him that what he's allowed is for our good, even though it on the surface And maybe even quite deep down, it doesn't look like it's for our good. Do we trust him? I suppose it's that comes down to for me. I was going to say something else that slipped my mind, so maybe it comes back. We'll see. Malcolm, go ahead.
It's just to remember that God knows the end from the beginning. Mm. And when things go wrong for us and we get, he knows what the end result is. And so, you know, we should not sort of moan at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Morgan. Oh, yes, it's come back. I think Chris mentioned, or maybe it was David, maybe it was Chris talked about perfect love casting out fear. Who was that? Chris? Maybe it was Linda. I don't know.
Chris.
It was Chris. Perfect love casting out fear. You know, if we believe that we are loved by God with a perfect love, which I'm not sure any of us here would claim God's love wasn't perfect, then we've got nothing to fear. It's how I read from this verse, is we've got nothing to fear. Because that verse goes on to talk about fear comes from the thought of punishment, and we're not being punished. If we're the children of God, we're, yes, discipline perhaps in one sense, but not judgment. And so we don't have to fear. It's for our good. It's for our good. Even if something comes along, which is, you know, quite, which on the surface could seem quite scary, we don't need to fear, because if the Lord has allowed it, it's out of his love for us, and something, he will work something good from it if we allow him to. Even though we may have to go through some very difficult times. And I think, as I say that, I think across, to our brothers and sisters across the world who will face and have faced some tremendous difficulties for the name of Jesus. But it's I always find it amazing when you listen to these testimonies of how joyful many of them become. I think of one man who was in prison. I think, which prison was it? I think it was one in China. And he wasn't allowed to praise the Lord. If he was ever found praising the Lord, he was beaten and tortured. But one day they gave him a job to do, which was to go out into, he had to wade out into the middle of the cesspit, which was absolutely stinking. And something he didn't really want to do. I don't think many of us would. And yet he said, as the first time he went out and waded into the middle of that, he found himself completely free to praise the Lord, and not a single guard would come near him. And he said, he did say, and he meant this genuinely, because I heard his testimony, and you could see it in his eyes. He said it was one of the sweetest times with the Lord. And I can believe that. I really can believe that. So you know, we sometimes what can seem on the surface to us as difficult, tremendously difficult circumstances can be a place where actually we find that sweet, sweet joy. Joy above, because it's joy, that's joy from above, isn't it? That's joy from heaven. That isn't divine joy. This is not something that you can manufacture in yourself. So sometimes I think when we have that right attitude in those difficult circumstances, it can make all the difference. Paul and Silas, we talked last week, Paul and Silas in prison. You know, in the Philippian jail, you could have, I'm sure, found many things to complain about. But they decided to sing and praise God. And I think it's our attitude in that which actually, for me, marks us out, which differentiates us in a very transparent way, I think, to the world, because the world loves a good moan, and in particular, whenever things are going really bad, moan a lot. So when we have that different, completely different attitude, I think it's a way that we can shine like stars. When the darkness is darker around us, then we can shine brighter. Sorry, John and Jan, you've been waiting very patiently.
I'm reminded of Corrie ten Boom, praising the Lord for the fleas, because she That's could right. hold Bible studies in her...
That's right. Amen.
What was it? In the hut. And That's the guards right. wouldn't come near her for the fleas.
That's right. And Betsy said to her, come on, Corrie, we need to give thanks for the fleas. And Betsy gave thanks, but it took Corrie a while. But she did. And as you say, Jan, later on they discovered that the fleas actually allowed them to do Bible studies. The guards wouldn't come in. Hallelujah. Any other comments? Okay, I'm just keeping an eye on the time. I do want to give us an opportunity to give thanks corporately. But before we do so, I do just want to give this last few minutes just to see if anybody else have any other final comments they want to make, anything that the Lord is pressing on them to share before we come to a close.
I was thinking it's a pity Chris isn't still here. When we were in Israel with him, every day we got onto the bus, and as we set off, we started singing Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah.
No, yeah. This is the day, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Yeah. Okay. We can sing both of them.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Okay. Well,
Ken has his hand up.
Oh, Ken, sorry, Ken. Go ahead, Ken.
No, it's just that I didn't feel like coming on the meeting tonight. I was in really bad form. And I'm so grateful now that I did come on the meeting. And I've been encouraged so much by the passages from the Bible. And I intend to use those later on tonight. And I just praise and thank God for the people that are at the meeting tonight and who have encouraged me through God's word. I really am grateful for it. Thanks very much.
Oh, bless you, Ken. God bless you. Thank you for that testimony. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Well, that's a good place for us to now go into there's a time of sharing now. So corporate prayer. Just the floor is open if you want to pray, if you want to read some scripture, if you want to sing, if you want to dance. Whatever the Lord is leading you, however you need to respond, whatever way he leads you to respond, please feel free to do so. Let's just give thanks for what his word and what he has done in his word and what he will do in the future. His word is still filled with unfulfilled prophecies, which we look forward to. And we trust that they will be fulfilled just as much as the others have been. We trust him. So it's just a time. I'll just leave it open now. And we'll just carry on for as long as we think we should. And if you need to leave, please feel free to do so. Just as you need to leave, just drop out and Shalom, and we'll see you next week. God willing. The floor is open.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Amen. Amen. God.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for who you are. You are King of the universe. You are slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, full of mercy and grace and truth. You are the righteous one, and you alone are holy. Father, blessed be your name. Thank you that you have drawn us to yourself and opened up the way, all because of Jesus and his sacrifice. Because of his blood, we can come to you. And we thank you, Father, for Jesus' obedience on the cross, his obedience day to day, according to what you called him to do and what you called him to say. Father, we are so grateful to you that we have a new and living way. And we thank you, Father, for the way in which you have given us your Spirit. And he is the one who equips and enables us to follow in newness of life. Father, truly you are good. And we thank you that there is no one like you. You do not treat us as our sins deserve. You love us with an everlasting love. We want to bless your holy name. And thank you, Father, in the name of our Messiah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the reminder that your people giving thanks and having a different attitude will be part of what is a light to the world. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the reminder that when we don't think we're really doing anything or saying anything that's of any consequence, our attitude can be the speaking. Amen.
Amen.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, that which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7.
Father, we thank you that your word is life and you breathe life into us through your word. We bless you, Lord, and thank you for the power of your word and for its truth, for its reality. And as we take it in and live it out, we change. And we thank you, Father, for the way in which you're transforming us from one glory to another. Thank you, Father, that we are your workmanship. Thank you, Father, that you don't give up on us. And Amen. Thank you, Father, that you accept us in and through Jesus our Lord. Blessed be your name, Father. Thank you for your goodness to us. And thank you that we can see your goodness in the land of the living. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you that we can come to you at any time, anywhere, and the way is open, and you have a listening ear, and you want to be involved in our lives, and you want us to see your love in action in our lives and in the lives of those we know and have relationships with. Father, you are truly good, and we thank you for your love, which passes our understanding. We thank you for your peace, which again passes our understanding. Father, you are so good to us, and we thank you for being there for us and just loving us. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Yes, Father, help us to learn how to use thanksgiving, thankfulness, as a weapon of our warfare against the enemy. And Father, when circumstances change and circumstances come our way, Lord, which are extremely difficult, Lord, renew our minds, so that we can give thanks in them and for them. And as my sister has already prayed, Lord, then that we can be, we can shine like stars. And so what the enemy meant for evil, Lord, you can turn to good. And Father, through that, others may be drawn into your kingdom because of the light of Christ shining through us. Lord, if as we have talked about this evening, Lord, your word is telling us that rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks in everything is a way to have the continual filling of the Spirit, then we know that the enemy will do everything he can to stop us rejoicing, to stop us from praying, to stop us from giving thanks. And so therefore, Lord, we can start to see how powerful this weapon of thanksgiving really is. Oh, Father, train us to use this weapon to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Yes, Father, help us to be aware of the enemy's schemes, Lord. Help us to be aware that he's always trying to bring us down, help focusing on ourselves. As my sister said earlier about self-pity, Lord, he's always wanting us to focus on ourselves and how things aren't the way we would want them to be. Oh, Father, help us not to fall for those schemes, Lord, not to give in. but to go on rejoicing, to go on thanking, to go on praying. Oh, Father, help us, I pray. Help us. By your grace, Lord, by your grace, may we look up. Father, when the last thing we want to do is give thanks, Lord, may we look up and in our weakness completely depend upon you for your grace to help us and to enable us to do what your word is commanding us to do. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I have to confess, I don't thank you enough most of the time. And if we think the psalmist said 3,000 years ago, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Thank you, Father. We should be the most content people on the face of this earth because of all that you have done, are doing, and will do for us. In my case, for me personally, speaking personally, the sights of my faith to that higher level where I can see through more clearly where what you are doing, where things are going, so that we can give you thanks and we can turn back to you with thanksgiving. Your amazing goodness, your infinite love, for your abundant plans, for your abundant mercy. We were reading about that covenant faithfulness where you, the God of the universe, have committed yourself to us in covenant love to bless us and preserve us and to bring us safely to your eternal dwelling and to protect us on the way, to be with us. Think of the people of Israel in the wilderness. It says in all their affliction he was afflicted and the angel of his presence went with them. And Lord, you're with us in your presence. Your Holy Spirit dwells within us. There are amazing things that we should be giving thanks for all the time, to, as we said, not to focus on ourselves but to focus on you, to see who we are in relationship to you. We're sons, called sons of the living God, brought into your family, and a father's love beaming down on us, and yet, Father, how often we just try to do it alone. But we thank you for those times when you do direct and guide and stir and draw us into the line that you want us to follow, the path you want us to follow. You draw us and bind us to yourself with the cords of love. Father, we thank you for your love and your blessing and for all that you are, as well as all that you've done, that we can look up into the heaven, as it were, and we're looking on the face of our Father. This is an amazing, amazing privilege that we bless you for, and in blessing you and in thanking you, we are bringing glory to you, and that's what we want to do, Father, to bring glory to your name. Through all that we say and do, throughout and our attitudes, as we've been thinking, Father, continue to reshape our minds to help us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, to not be conformed to the ways of this world, but to be renewed by the transformation of our minds. Father, this is your plan for us, to make us like your Son, to bring us into that glorious likeness. And is it so I shall be like thy son? Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of mercies, thought beyond all thought, in glory into his blessed image brought. Father, how can we not be a thankful and a praising people? So we exalt your name, we lift up your name tonight, we praise you, we bless you, and we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we know that regardless of circumstances on this earth, that, Lord, you are in total control. Mm. And, Lord, that you have our interests at heart. Lord, help us not to look to circumstances, but, Lord, help us to look more to you and forgive us the times that we get caught up by what we see. And lead us, Lord, and strengthen us for your glory. Lord, we give you all the glory because you alone are worthy. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, will you bring us to that place of reality that there is so much to be thankful for? Lord, will you just bring us to that place, Lord, where our hearts are so full of love for you that we just want to just fill our minds with the things of you, Lord. And so out of our hearts will come just an overflow of thankfulness, Lord. Mm-hmm. Would you bring us to that place of reality? Would you take away the fears and the things that have clogged up our minds, Lord? And just help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit and in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for hearing my cry and of answering out of my despair and my despondency. When I cried to you and I thought that no one cared and I was in irrelevance and in the midst of a congregation, and crying out to you and saying, what about me? And Father, the pastor's wife prayed and spoke about me. And Father, that might be pride, but Lord, I want to thank you that you saw my need. You saw my need in my brokenness, that someone would care. And I thank you for Marilyn, and I thank you, Father, that you heard and you prompted her. And Father, that really blessed me, and it helped to build me up and take me out of that great chasm that I was in, despair and darkness. And I thank you, Father, that it doesn't matter where we are, even if we can't praise you at the time or thank you, because our feelings are so deep and so overwhelming. When we cry to you, as the psalmist said many times, you do hear and you do answer. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Father, for the way in which you know us better than we know ourselves. And you know what we need. And you have promised in your word to meet our needs. And we thank you that you do not lie, that you are the one who does fulfill your word in a myriad of ways. And we want to bless you, Father, and thank you because you are so generous to us and so gracious and so long-suffering. And your desire is to have fellowship with us. And we thank you that almighty as you are, transcendent as you are, all glorious as you are, you seek us as your possession, to have a relationship with us. Father, thank you and bless you for this wonderful work, this wonderful desire of yours to know us and to love us, to care for us, to treasure us, to honour us, and to transform us. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Amen. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Father, we pray for Ken. Lord, we thank you for his testimony tonight. And Father, we pray that you would strengthen him this evening, Lord, that you would fill him with joy, Lord, that is surpassing, Lord, that it is not from within himself, Lord, but from above. Lord, a joy despite, Lord, his difficult circumstances. So, Father, we just thank you for him. Father, would you bless him and teach him, Lord, and train him in these ways, Lord, of rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks in everything. And so going on being filled with the Spirit, Lord. Oh, thank you for Ken, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to draw this time to a close, but don't stop giving thanks. Why don't you just, when you turn off the computer, why don't you just sit and give thanks aloud to the Lord and start to put into practice some of these things: rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in everything. And we may just learn something very profound about what the Lord is saying. So bless you all. Thank you again for all your input. Lord willing, we'll be back again next week, same time, same place, probably continuing with a similar theme. But this week, why don't you put into practice overcoming the enemy through thanksgiving?
Harry, could I just mention, could I just mention Psalm 139?
Yes, please.
And if people can't think of anything to thank God for, Psalm 139 is a good place to start. We can thank him that he knows our rising up, our sitting down, our going out, our coming in. And it's everything in such detail. We can thank the Lord in so many ways with this psalm. It's just a thought.
Thank you, Fiona. And with that thought, we'll sign off. Shalom.
God bless you.
Barry. God bless you. Thank you, David.